We are the ones
that see your plan.
And we're perceiving
that you're about to talk to us. And we can hear. Hallelujah. I want to take you to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to be using the Passion Translation because it's got a couple of little pieces that might be an awakening for some of you. Verse 1. A life of freedom. At last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth. And the other word for that is to stand strong. We must always cherish this truth, or stand strong, and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Well, your past and my past is loaded with what? Examples, circumstances, selfishness, motivations of backfiring, pushing people, shoving, whatever we had to do to survive. Not always God. Verse 2, I, Paul, tell you, if you think there is benefits in circumcision and Jewish regulations, then you're acting as though Christ is not enough. Now, I thought that was pretty cool for the Jewish person, but I'm thinking of the religious person that's in church every week. And I was one of those. Okay? Did I comprehend that Christ, the anointed one, had gone to that crucifixion and completed me in himself? At that time, I did not know that. Okay? And a lot of believers say, I'm a Christian, but they don't realize what Jesus has done for them. Okay? They don't realize what he paid. So, I say it again emphatically. If you let yourselves be circumcised, you are obliged to fulfill every single one of the commandments and regulations of the law. Now, how does that apply to us? If you look at what St. Paul is saying, is sometimes people are confronted with truth, but truth is too costly. So they'll go into the works program, and they're comfortable in the works program. They're going to be holy in their own eyes. They're going to be under the law. They're going to do everything they're told to do and be happy about it and believe that that's their key to heaven. But God's not mocked. Verse 4. If you want to be made right with God by fulfilling the obligation of the law, you have cut off more than your flesh. You have cut yourself off from Christ and have fallen away from the revelation of grace. Now, if you think about that reality, choosing to walk in perfection from your perspective, or what you used to do when you were in a religious relationship, they tell you what to do, and you believe them more than you believe the word. Gabby and I talked a little bit about that on the way in. People who choose not to accept the truth of the word of the Lord, they go by the words of men and traditions of men and women. And they're satisfied because it's comfortable. I can do this. Okay? And with that attitude, I'm a Christian. Well, you heard about Joe and I going into the lion's den, and they're Christians. They really believe. But, you know, is there mistakes? Yes. I believe there's mistakes even in us. There's pieces to us that have still got to have a conversion. Am I making any sense?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Jesus and by his spirit, he's all done with us. He is in progress. And we are a work progressing. Verse 5. But we have the true hope that comes from being made right with God, and by the Spirit we wait eagerly for this hope. When you're joined to the Anointed One, I love that part, verse 6. When you or I are joined to the Anointed One, who's the Anointed One? Holy Spirit, Jesus himself. Circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. That's an incredible statement. I lived under that. Am I critical of those who are there? No. They need living water. They need to have a bottle of water washed off their eyes so that they can see for a change. Amen? All right. All that matters now is living in the faith that works and expresses itself through love. That's your commitment. That's what you all have said today. Every one of you has said, if you work through love, it's going to work out. If you love those that are unlovely and you see the negative forces that are using them, you don't get upset. You do have a reaction. Joe and I had a reaction. We all have reactions. But we don't live there. You don't remain there. And you know that if it wasn't for him going to that cross and setting you free, and you believe it, you'd still be in that religious space. Okay? If it wasn't for his grace, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair. Are you kidding me? I would have ran the other way. Before you were led astray, you were so faithful. Who has deceived you so that you have turned from what is right? The one who enfolded you into his grace is not behind this false teaching that you've embraced. Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system?
Yeah.
Wow. I repeat. The one who enfolded you into his grace. How did he pull me in? By grace himself. Grace is a work that's ongoing inside of me. It is not stopping. There's a lot for me to learn down the road. I'm not done yet. I'm sure I come out of the oven once in a while and I'm still seeing ouch when, you know, he puts the needle in. Get it? One who enfolded you into his grace is not behind this false teaching that you've embraced. How did they embrace it? They agreed with it. Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system? So, what kind of belief system did I make when I had to choose between the word and the traditions of men? I had to make a decision. And it was not comfortable. Because I had to realize this is what believers set their faith on. This is what many of the first believers literally were crucified for. Okay? Not because they believed in men's traditions, because they had walked away from men's traditions. They had walked away from the religious laws and the Ten Commandments, if you wish. Not that they're not needed, because they do show up about the sin in us. But they were not in such a place where they went by the traditions of their leadership. And that's why I tell people, I am a leader in a sense, but I'm not the end all. This word is what needs to be the proof of where I'm walking. Do I fail? Absolutely. Do I fall apart? Absolutely. Can I relate to those who fall apart? Absolutely. Can I cry with them? Yes. Can I laugh with them when they have a victory? Yes. That's what real love is to take on the nature of the one who's broken. Ponder on that one.
Yes.
Ponder on that one. The nature of the one that's broken needs your intercession as Holy Spirit leads you. He or she does not need to be criticized. Because what's it going to produce if you criticize them? They're going to retaliate. They're already justified in their own eyes. We saw that in the lion's den. They will defend each other. And you will look like a fool. And you'll feel like one. Welcome to the club. I've been there. Verse 10. Deep in my heart, I have confidence that the Lord who lives in you will bring you back around to the truth. So, we had a word several months back. We have people who walked away from greater victories that they believe they're going to have. And I met one just last week. And I didn't say anything. I just gave a hug, said, hi, how are you? We miss you. And that was it. There's nothing else to say. If they can't awaken, am I going to be an argumentative person and say, can't you straighten out your act? What good would that do? Right. They've already decided that they don't want to be here.
Right.
They've made that quality decision, and you and I need to respect their decision. And if Holy Ghost can't teach them, give it up!
But couldn't God put it on someone's heart to say, straighten up your act, you need to do that?
It could, but most likely, Holy Spirit is the one that's going to crash in on them. Mm-hmm. And he will awaken them, because that's what he does. Okay? So, again, 10. Deep in my heart, I have confidence that the Lord who lives in you will bring you back around to the truth. I am convinced that those who trouble you, whoever they think they are, will bear the penalty. So, Holy Spirit is not only going to judge, because the Father is going to judge, and there's going to be some correction down the road. Amen? And they may not like the correction. They may be sitting in a situation where they are not able to control the circumstances anymore. And when they're in that place, their brain goes to work. Well, but just maybe I need to change. Just maybe I better cry out to God. I had a gentleman that I watched on Daystar. He was 11 hours in the heavens, and his dead body was sitting in a pickup truck, folded over on the steering wheel from a heart attack. Now, He had been sick for 4 years and had been in pain, unbelievable torment, and an incredible amount of painkillers was the solution. So he actually overdosed because he wanted to go and inspect a field that he had just sold. And his god was money. He had made loads of money, and now for 4 years he can't function. So obviously he's losing money. So he's got to survive, so he sold a piece of property. And he wanted to make sure that the people who did the works of the selling of the, that it was the right piece of land that he had sold, and the markings were good, and so on. So he drives there, and he took a couple more pills because the pain was really bad, and those two pills did him in. He passed out. And then he's standing in front of his truck, and he said, "Somebody stole my truck." He didn't realize that his spirit has come out of his body, and he's standing there, and he's looking at his pickup truck, and he's angry that somebody is stealing his truck. Okay? So he goes over to the side door of the driver's seat, and he realizes it's him. He's seeing his body dead, the blood running out of his mouth and his eyes. Then he realizes, I'm dead. But he remembered saying a prayer just before he died. God help me. That's all he said. And he says, I was a good Catholic boy. But he never went back to church when he found money is a great God. Enjoyed his money and enjoyed doing all the things that money can do. So now he realizes, oh my God, this is not funny. He can't control. He is being led by an angel, and they see this incredible long corridor filled with light, and he's flowing through it, and he can't stop it. He's being controlled for a change. Remember, the controller now is taking his own medicine. Got it? So he gets to the end of the white tunnel, and he's overwhelmed at all of the sceneries of heaven. It's just awesome. The grass is so green, the flowers are intense, everything is beautiful. But then he's told to look on the other side, so he turns to his right, and he sees this great big chasm. And at the bottom, there's an ugly spirit or an ugly animal looking thing. And it begins to talk. And it starts coming up towards him. And so this thing is ugly. It is scary. But he's like, you know, choosing to stay there and investigate. Because that's what a controller does. Okay, so his natural response is to do what he did on the earth. He's doing the same thing. And he's focused. But as this creature is coming up the banking, it's getting bigger and larger and bigger and larger and more ugly. And then he cries out again. This is his second prayer. God, help me. Or God, forgive me. I forgot which one. Okay? One of the prayers was, God, forgive me. The second one was, God, help me. As he said, God, help me, he felt the angel help him, and two more angels show up, and the creature goes back down into its valley. So now he's looking at the two angels, and he is guided by them and obviously investigates heaven. Did he say the sinner's prayer? Did he say, God, forgive me? Yes. Did he say Jesus' name? No. Okay? And I can remember, and I'm talking about me now, I'm not talking about anybody else. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, now I got born again on my knees in the front of my kitchen sink, okay, at 27. But at 37, Holy Spirit is on the job, and he wants to give me more, okay? So I get filled with the Holy Spirit. I get baptized in that in February or March. February. Now it's Easter. I'm in the Catholic Church. We're at the Mass. And I can remember it's during Easter week. Could have been Good Friday. I'm not positive. And I hear in my heart, because now I can hear him loud and clear. He's showing me the statue of Mary holding baby Jesus. It's right on the left. It's right there in front of me. Okay? And the Holy Spirit says to me, "Do you see that?" And I said, "Yes." And the Lord said, "I'm all grown up now." Oh my God, what an awakening. You know, because Mary is the focus, Jesus is the baby, implying she's got more power than he does, because he's a baby. Okay? I can remember sitting down and reflecting on that word, which was changing my belief system. Verse 9, "Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system?" Was I caught? Yes. Did I believe a lie? A little one. But you know, that's where I was. So don't pick on the one that doesn't have a clue. If your intercession has any value, they will change because of your obedience. Oh boy, I hit a brick wall. Close your eyes right now. Say, "Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I am accountable. And if I see somebody stuck with the wrong belief system, help me to pray for them instead of criticizing them. I don't want to be sitting 40 years complaining about those that are stuck in religion. Help me to intercede. Make it real for me. They need me to intercede for them." Verse 10, "In my heart, deep in my heart, I have confidence that the Lord will live, who lives in you, will bring you back around to the truth. And I'm convinced that those who trouble you, whoever they think they are, will bear their penalty." It's not yours and my job to penalize them. Amen? "Dear friends, why do you think the religious system persecuted me?" I want to hear it again. Say, "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm a friend of St. Paul. And I know now that the religious system persecuted Paul. If I get persecuted, I'm in good company." Amen? "It is because I preach the message of being circumcised and keeping all the laws of Judaism. Not at all. Is there no longer any offense over the cross? I tell you the truth, I am disgusted with all your agitators. I wish they would go even further and cut off their legalistic influence from your lives. Beloved one, God has called us to live a life of freedom." God has called us to live a life of freedom. "But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up a base of operation in the natural realm. Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. For all the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. That was the commission, Joe. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, and I could add even major ones, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. Wow. I love this word. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense craving hinders your self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh. I don't know if you can make it any clearer. And the new creation life of the Spirit. That right there is such a mouthful. Because again, you're seeing the traditions of men on one side, and you're seeing obedience to Holy Spirit. When you obeyed and bought that bottled water, what were you doing? Obeying. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, and the footnote on that is the word of the Spirit is actually the Spirit wind. The footnote is the Spirit wind. It will blow on you. Nice, isn't it? Okay. When you yield to the life of the Spirit, or Spirit wind, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. The behavior of the self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of others who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion. Say ouch. Being in love with my own opinion shows up on how I act and react. Being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addiction, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Just close your eyes right now. Say the fruit.
The fruit.
Produced by the Holy Spirit.
Within me
is divine love
in all its
various expressions. Here they are. Are you ready? joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. They have no end. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus Christ have already experienced crucifixion. Right, Joe? Mm-hmm. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. If the Spirit is the source of our life, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. Each of us is an original. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Right, Lisa? Who must forsake all jealousy and diminish the value of others? Say, Holy Spirit. There's a job here to take this word into my heart and bring it to life. Because the same Holy Spirit is available to me that was available to Paul. He didn't write this letter without living it. And I couldn't write this letter because I've not tasted it all yet. I'm under construction. Amen and amen.